Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody! Recruiting Animal here on September 9th, 2009, brother. You know, numerically, today's date is 999. Triple nine. And by coincidence, brother, I want to talk to you about another triplet today, another triple playing recruiting radio. Now we have three lunchtime recruiting shows, brother. Monday, Bill, UK Man Borman. Wednesday is me, Animal Mania. And on Thursday is Jeff and Maureen, as in Jeff and Maureen sourcing in a tree, C-A-L-L-I-N-G. And every one of these shows talks about the exact same thing with the exact same people. Plus, we have Jim Shroud and Karen with the Recruiter's Lounge and Bill Vick with Extreme Recruiting TV. A few weeks ago, Maureen Sherub interviewed Brother Jeff Webb on this show, and a couple of days later, brother, there he was on the Recruiter's Lounge. And my own guest for today, Janice Worthington, sister, was just interviewed by Bill Borman on Monday, 2 days ago. So let me ask you this. If you were going to interview someone who was also appeared on all other shows, would you want to be the first person to get the guest or the last? Brother, most people would say they want to be the first, but that's not the right answer, Animal Maniacs. The best position is the last position, because then all other shows are doing pre-interviews with you. By that time, he gets to know, I know all the answers. Doesn't cough up the first time, brother. I answer the question myself and say, hey, don't you think that's true, brother? And he'll say, yes. And we can move right along instead of boring everyone to death. Anyway, with all these recruiting shows doing the exact same thing, I said to myself, Animalster, you need a new idea. You need a new idea that's going to brand you as the recruiting show with the most usability, brother. That's going to brand you as the recruiting show that is the most user-friendly. So I'm calling on you, huddled masses in Hulkamaniac land, to send your problems to me, not Claudia Faust. You might be a recruiter. You might be a job hunter, brother. You might be taking your vitamins and taking your prayers. And you might be the hiring manager, too, if you're all alone in the still of the night struggling with a problem, a relevant problem. I want you to email me, brother. Details to come, because right now I've got a guest on my hands. And Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
If anybody could tell.
If he introduced my show in a different tone than I told him to, but if he introduced it, that he could do a little poetry reading, and that's what we're going to do now. So Janice Worthington, my guest, hold on, hold your horses. Steve, the spotlight is yours.
Oh, thank you. I want to thank the Academy. Oh, got to read first. His tweets indicated that things were not right, for he had gargled with salt water throughout all of last night. His heart pounded wildly as he conjured a plan to open Blog Talk Radio, sounding somewhat like a man. But the more he pondered his thoughts for the show, his shul-smitten voice box could barely utter hello. There must be someone who I can trust to deliver a riveting intro that makes all listeners quiver. Should I nominate Jerry? How about Borman? Nah, he's about as exciting as a Park Avenue doorman. What about Metcalf? I'll bet she'd like to MC, but who wants to hear her verbal debris? Claudia Faust knows how to offer advice, but for my radio show, she's simply too nice. I'd consider Latorno. Sure, he's a loose cannon, but what about that Siri chick? I think her name's Shannon. I suppose there's Rayanne. This could be the high point of her day. But I don't want my show smelling like a large rose bouquet. There has to be someone who can fire up the crowd, someone with a voice, articulate, loud. When I first read his short tweet, I first thought, no way, he won't follow directions. My show will decay. Yet he's so much like me, balding and bold. It didn't take too long. On these, I was sold. So, Animal, thank you. I'll now relinquish control. But first, for your listeners, I have a recruiter to extol. From planning to sourcing to hiring the best, call me to discuss. You will be impressed. Animal, back to you, brother.
Back to me. Thank you, Steve Levy. Now, you know what? The only thing is, you seem to only know one poem, The Night Before Christmas. Anyway.
No, I actually know some stuff, but I don't folks really want to, you know, want to hear the sound of me.
We
got to
get to my
guest. Shut the hell up.
Thank
I'm talking
Steve.
Right now.
Janice Worthington, are you there?
Animal.
Good. Gotcha.
Hey, Steve Levy, did you write that?
Of course,
I got the show now.
Hey,
maybe you could
try that one about that man from Nantucket.
He could write resumes.
With a recruiter from Ohio.
Okay, you know what? I don't want to cut everybody off at the beginning of the show. It's now my show. I didn't have to yell at the beginning. I will yell now if I have to. Now listen, Janice, is your kid calling in today?
That's up to him.
You know what? I got to tell you, because I listened to you on Bill Borman's show. You were just on Bill Borman's show. In case anybody didn't understand, Steve, Hulk Hogan, Steve Levy, she was just on Bill Borman's show 2 days ago. Every show is the same now. But I listened, and he called you Janice. Your son called you Janice. He's going to call you Mom on this show, or he's going to be out. We're transparent. You know, he's not going to call in and pretend he doesn't know you and say how great you are. None of that here. Mom.
We will hunt him down if we have to.
Yeah, right.
Hey,
I met the guy.
Hey,
what?
Animal.
What?
I had to let you know, I've got my brother listening to the show. His name's Mike.
Yeah.
He's actually in a job hunt right now. I told him if he listened to the show, he would pick up some relevant information. So far, you're letting me down.
Okay.
He sent me a note that said, what the hell is this guy talking about?
What is he doing? Okay, so you know what? We're going to actually put him on the show, let him ask Janice questions, but we're going to go through a few other things first. I want to apologize, first of all, to Matthew Jones, 23, of Chicago. Last week I called him a jerk on the show. I didn't realize he was generationally challenged. Sorry, Matthew, I didn't know your age. He's in Gen Y, you sucker! Now, since it's September 9th, 2009, I thought we would sing Revolution Number 9 by the Beatles. Does anyone know that song? We got to do it fast. Show's lagging. Anybody know the song?
Yes.
No. Yeah, you just say number 9 100 times, okay? So, Levy, anybody else who wants to join in, we'll do it about 10 times, okay? Ready? Number 9.
Number
9.
Number
9.
Number
9.
Number
9.
Number
9.
Number
9.
Number
9.
Number
9.
Number
9. Okay! Song away! Gotta move ahead.
That was great!
Now, last week we had a great show, and I believe it was great because it wasn't really about recruiting at all. It was about an obnoxious group of people that everybody hates, and nothing's better than that, in my opinion. So I'm hoping that today we can do something very similar. The topic is job search coaching, but really, maybe we should focus on job hunters and ask, why should we hire someone who doesn't have the brains to write a resume? Why should we hire someone who doesn't know how to dress? Why should we hire someone who can't answer questions in an interview? What's wrong with these guys? Why are job hunters such big dummies? Janice, I'm asking you!
Why should we hire someone who can't write a will? Why should we hire someone who can't rewrite the Constitution? Or
we don't hire people who write wills. We bury them.
You got to know how to do this stuff by being trained on how to do this stuff. And job seekers know how to do the job. They do not know how to find a job. There's no degree. There's no final. There's no training until you're out of a job. And then in many cases, the training is... I can't say those things on the air. The training is insufficient. How's that?
Yeah, okay.
How's
but listen,
dumb?
I got a rebuttal for you. These guys are not just ignorant, as you're saying. They're so ignorant that when you tell them what to do, and it's stuff they can do, they resist.
This is why. You're going to want to know why I stopped being a recruiter. That's next, and you have just named why. okay? Because there was such a need, and this was in 1987, there was such a need for somebody that wasn't on the company end, wasn't on the client end, to specifically concentrate on these job seekers that I decided, I mean, people were going to their therapists or their grandmas or something to get help, okay? And there was nobody helping them in 87, and I decided from interviewing them as a recruiter and not having the time to prep them properly, I decided to stop the recruiting and to switch sides of the aisle and to help these people.
Okay, enough advertising. I heard you say on the Bill Borman show that recruiters don't prep their people properly, but you, let me quote you, because I went through it and posted everything you said. When I was a recruiter, I prepped my people hard. When they walked into an HR manager, they knew everything. I see a deficiency in that today. So now you're being modest, but there you were puffing yourself up at our expense. True or not?
You want puff?
No, I don't want puff. You don't deserve it, honey.
He wants the truth.
Yeah, right. I want the truth and nothing but the truth.
Here is the truth. And having been a recruiter, I understand. And this is not to diss recruiters. However, they've got two sides of the street to deal with. They've got the candidate side. They've got the client side. And I maintain they do not have the time to spend on these candidates who, as you so aptly say, some of whom are very deficient. I've got all my candidates listening, so I got to be careful here. They're very deficient on what they need to be in front of an interview. I also do maintain, and I continue to maintain, that job orders in many cases are not taken sufficiently. We don't know, you don't know as recruiters enough about what a company needs to go back to your candidate and say, hey, here are the points of pain specifically. Here's what the department needs. Here's what the hiring manager is really feeling. You got to go in. You got to go to those points
okay,
of pain.
Okay, let me tell you something. Jerry wants to address that. Go ahead.
Not emotionally. You're not talking about like emotional stuff, are you? You said the hiring manager is feeling.
Oh, come on, Jerry. Don't derail the conversation. The show's going slow. I'm not going to let you wreck it, especially when you brought your brother here. What's your name? Mike Albright, are you there? Mike Albright, answer me right now.
No, I think he bailed.
Your brother bailed?
He's Gen Y, man. They don't have time.
Oh.
They're multitasking.
Okay, you tell us about your brother. Why is he such a loser that he had to call into this show to help us get him a job?
That's a good question. He can't even help himself. I'm done helping him. Mike, if you're still listening, don't ask me for anything.
No, Mike, call back in. We want to help you. We're going to give you free advice today. Janice, are you willing to help his brother here and now?
You got it.
Testify, Mike. Call back in. Don't be a chicken. Okay, so Janice, here you're talking about something we can talk about. You want to tell a recruiter how to work, and I'm willing to hear what you have to say. But listen to this. If the recruiter, you're saying, hasn't done his job, the job search candidate could spend as much time as he does with you as he's got money for, and you can't help him, can you?
Oh, that's not true.
Oh,
that's not true.
If a recruiter is deficient and doesn't prep the guy properly, what are you going to do with that candidate?
Money. Somebody said money. How much does this cost?
You know what? You hold your horses for a sec, okay? I got to move the show ahead, but that's a good question. We'll bring it back later. Maureen Sherb, go ahead, Janice.
It depends. There's your answer. Okay. First of all, it is possible today to do enough research on both companies and on both people. Thank you, LinkedIn, both hiring managers and on companies. And we have a way that we backdoor it through people that are currently working at a company to do all the backdoor espionage we need to do to find out as much as we can if the recruiter does not have the information that they need to prep the candidate.
Do you have an example?
Yes, we do.
Because I got to tell you something. Let me interrupt you. I listened to the Bill Borman show, and your sonny boy overstated the case for social media. Just an aside, we'll come to this later. He virtually said you could go to any networking event and look up everybody who's going to be there and know what they're interested in advance on social media, so you know you're a conversational whiz when you get there. And I'm thinking, no. So Now you're going to talk about social media and research. Do that. We'll get to the other half of social media later. Go ahead.
All right.
Hey, who's deep breathing on the show? Stop.
Mouth breather.
Yeah. Stop it. I'll have to cut everybody off. Go ahead, Janice.
All right. For example, we got a company here in town called Cardinal Health. Okay, and Cardinal Health has been looking at a candidate for a while, and the way that we've made that candidate very compelling, and they had a hiring freeze, so there's the why for a while, but they're very high on her. They've been looking at her for a while. The way we secured the information that we needed to about that company was through former clients of mine that had either worked for or are working for Cardinal Health. There's your answer.
Okay, so in other words, she paid you to put her in touch with people. That's not the average job hunter, but is that what a job search coach does? They
that's
keep a good network of people? Okay.
That's what this job search. You got to remember, having been a recruiter for 14 years, that really puts me at an advantage, okay? Because this
you
is
know,
all
I didn't
happening.
Ask you here to advertise for yourself.
That
I
is the point.
You,
that's the
I
answer
I
asked
you to tell us what a job search coach does. So some losers like Jerry's brother could call in and figure out if he wants to, you know, to deal with someone like you, okay? So I don't want to hear any more about 1987 or 1977. I'm talking about here and now. If you're on the outside, if you don't have a job search coach, are you lost? Do you need a job search coach to put you in touch with the people who are going to give you the inside dope on the companies you're interested in? Yes or no?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
What do you know? I got to tell you, I didn't expect that. Go ahead.
Take a look at all the recruiters. Take a look at all the send-outs that don't result in offers. Could a coach have helped push that over?
No, that's not what I asked. I asked, is the coach going to put them in touch with people who can help them get the job?
If the coach can.
Isn't that recruiting?
No. No, because the individual that we're putting our people in touch with may not be hiring people. They may simply be used for information.
Okay, so
what good does information do you if the company isn't hiring?
Okay, Jerry, you're going off base. Come on.
Off base? The point is,
yeah.
Wondering why if somebody goes into a company and just happens to know everything about the company, so what?
Okay, Janice.
How is that relevant?
Janice, Jerry's got a
point.
That
sounds like just a know-it-all coming in there. Frankly, people that just ramble on and on about what they know, who they know, what they research, I tell them to step off in about 5 minutes.
Jerry, until this moment, we have been on the same page.
How's that?
I have been listening to you, and that's okay, though. We will get back on the same page. All right, first of all.
Let's do it.
First of all, if I can get somebody in front of a company, if I can get a coached client in front of a company, then there's an appearance there, especially as this person had 3 interviews. Now, no one's going to waste their time on a candidate to come back 3 times if they don't have something in mind for that individual.
Well, I've seen it happen 1,000 times. But go ahead.
Well, and that's fine. Then that's the problem of the candidate, or that's the problem. I mean, people get turned down or rejected or ignored or just for a variety of reasons. But I maintain today time is so precious that an employer is not going to spend time with somebody because they got other things to do, especially today, survival mode.
You know, Janice, let me interrupt you, okay?
Yeah.
I am getting buried. Maybe you guys didn't understand what Steve Levy said, the famous Vin Diesel Levy. I'm getting buried because there's so many recruiting shows saying the exact same thing. I have to differentiate myself. I can't just let you talk. I have to make clear points that people can go home with. Now you've said something clear that a candidate, the job seeker, he can go to some job search coaches, maybe like you, who've been around for a while, who have vast networks, and they can actually put him or her in touch with people who can inform them about the companies they want to go into. That's point number one. I learned that today. Nothing else. What are we talking about? I've got
to
know. We need takeaway points.
I'm just trying to understand the point of that.
No, let me clarify something. Jerry is saying you're coaching someone to find out about a company when they don't have an interview there. Is that right? Are you coaching them to approach a company without any jobs being available, just on, you know, and going in there and saying, I love you so much and I know all about you. Don't you love me? Is that what you're doing?
All your managers on Twitter.
Yeah. Is that what you're doing?
I'm LinkedIn with them.
Is that what you're doing, Janice?
And it's working.
You're doing that. Okay.
It's working.
Okay, go ahead. Tell us. Jerry wants to know, when someone studies a company like Cardinal Health, I don't want to mention your clients or whoever they are, Cardinal Health, but you mentioned them, any company, company XYZ, your client, your job hunter, researches that company on the net. They read about the people who were there by LinkedIn. What, do they phone them up, strangers on the phone too? Do they call up strangers? And that's one question. And to find, get inside information about the company. And secondly, what do they do then? Do they call the HR and say, hey, I know everything about your firm. I want you to hire me.
That's one of the ways to look for a job. That is not the only way. This
but
is
that what you're saying? Is that what we've established so far? Is that one of the ways to look for a job?
Yes, and it's more proactive than that, though. The one thing that people need to do is they need to tap into people they know. How many people go next door and say, hey, where do you work? What do? I'm trying to get in. I'm an accountant, okay? How do I do that? Who do you know? Can I use your name, okay? We don't have enough of that going on.
Okay, like my neighbors, I don't know them well enough to go and ask them where they're working and if they're going to get me a job there. Is it that you're only the people on your street, or like, you know, is it a little wider and more relevant and targeted than that?
Well, not to be accused of self-promoting. However, our model is to put all of our coached clients together. We put all of our coached clients together once a month. And they network with each other, and they help each other. All of them are either working someplace or used to work someplace. We sponsor one of the largest job networking groups in the state, okay? We speak at universities. I mean, we've got a very
Okay,
network.
Let me stop you. Let's go
but
back to Mike.
Does, wait a minute.
Don't make me mute you. You would be the first one I ever did it to. Now, listen. We got Mike Albright here. He's looking for a job. He lives where? In Chicago?
I don't know what's going on. I think he bailed. He says he wants
to
end the comedy.
I'm going to speak for him. Anyway, he lives in the United States.
He lives in Chicago.
And he's got a genius recruiter for a brother, okay? The guy's still without a job. Now, what should we advise him to do first? Are you saying he should pick a company he's interested in and then read their website and then look up if there's anybody on LinkedIn in that company? Yes or no? Is that what he should do first?
Of course.
Okay.
Not first necessarily, but that's
one thing. You let me guide you. You let me guide you, okay? So the first thing you would tell some lost soul to do is to pick a company he or she is interested in. Now, some people don't know what companies they're interested in. So, I mean, you know, pick a business they think is fun or something in their neighborhood, right? And so they're going to pick some kind of company some way. Then read about it on their website. See if there's any news items online about it. Then look on LinkedIn and see if there's any employees there. Now, let's say you find an employee on LinkedIn for that company. What do you do then?
You ask for an introduction.
What do you how?
LinkedIn provides that. How do recruiters get into companies? The same way.
No.
But candidates aren't recruiters. That's my only thing here.
That's an interesting issue. That's an interesting issue. But first, let's see what the candidate's supposed to do before you say he can't do it. He looks up. He finds that the sales manager for company XYZ is on LinkedIn. He's an IT systems analyst or something like that. So he finds the sales manager there. What does he do? Anything?
He attempts to connect through introduction. You know the introduction point on LinkedIn?
Why wouldn't he just pick up the phone if he knows the company? Why wouldn't he just look it up the number and call it Joe Blow?
All right. If he is able to do that, okay, and that takes a couple things. That takes guts. That takes a script. And that takes information. If he can do that, that's fine. All right. But many people, again, can't do that. They don't know how to do it. They're scared to death to do it. Job search is a cold call function. I don't care if you're a recruiter or a job seeker. What is the difference between a recruiter representing a candidate and the candidate himself? We are, in essence, teaching our candidates to behave like recruiters. God help us.
Right. Okay. So you're saying most of these people don't have, like, what Jerry would call a recruiter mentality to phone the guy directly. Instead, they send in mail or something like that through LinkedIn. Yes? Is that what you're saying, yes or no?
I would start there.
Okay, yeah, but what's the in-mail going to say? Hey, who's typing on the show?
Maureen.
I don't need your typing, okay? Maureen.
That's
you know, Maureen,
I got to
tell you, Maureen once put a whole article out about how you get a silent keyboard. So I went out and bought one, and you know, I found them. I found that they were really hard to use because it's like some kind of special plastic or something. And then I asked Maureen. I said, "How do you use it?" She said, "Oh, I never use it." Okay, back to you, Janice. That's the kind of advice you get from experts. Janice, back to you. You send the in-mail. What's in that in-mail?
All right, first of all, the research has to go beyond that, okay? If you've looked at I've listened to all your shows in preparation for this one, so I understand what...
You're still alive?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Jerry, I love you. We're on the same page.
We
are on the same
here.
Page.
Okay.
All right, I'm sorry. Save that for another show.
I feel like I'm dyslexic.
I'm sorry?
I feel like I'm dyslexic.
Who are you?
This is Jeremy.
The son. Mom, you say, Mom, I feel I'm dyslexic.
Mom,
you be
I
quiet.
Feel like I'm animal.
You be quiet. I'm not finished with your mother. I talked to you already. Come
wait,
on. Answer the question.
This
how
is
you know
the dyslexic animal recruiting show. This is not the animal recruiting show.
Maureen, he sounds to me more like Steve Levy's son, okay?
Now, start from the beginning. From the beginning.
No.
I
you
thought
be
it
quiet.
Sounded like Steve.
Don't make me fight. I told you. I come at the end when the fight is out of these guests already. You fought with Bill Boorman. Now I get to trample all over you guys. We're at the in-mail. What do you say in the in-mail? Janice, I'm asking you.
Understand that you went to Miami University, so did I. Okay? Miami grads tend to be very helpful to
each other. No, but we didn't go to Miami University.
I'm telling you. Wait a minute. Whoa. Here is a potential come on, okay? Understand you went to Miami University, so did I. Understand you are active in United Way, so am I, okay? Get in there with something in common. I'm in the market. And then you do your real short presentation, 4 years CPA background, looking to get into an accounting firm, would like to connect.
Let me interrupt. Very good. But I said the guy's a systems analyst. The only person he found in the company was a sales manager. Does he make a presentation of himself as a systems analyst to a sales manager?
Depending upon if they can find something in common. There's got to be a common bond. Or
okay, you're
be
sound.
A, or there's
going to
be a who the hell are you, and you can't have that. No, who
okay.
the hell are you.
Okay, let your son back you up here. Okay, come on, buddy.
No, Vitamin J's doing fine on her own.
Well, okay.
My point is, let me interject. My point is, we're jumping into the middle of the pool here. You haven't started at the shallow end. In other words, your show's about job search coaching, and you jumped into social media, and already we're looking to get on the inside. Well, you haven't started out with the resume. You haven't started out with your distribution. You haven't gone in to practicing your interviewing, and that's what you're hiring a job search coach for. And by the way, I understand it's a show for recruiters. Job search coaches and recruiters, it's not an adversarial relationship, okay? I just worked with a recruiter that made a placement on a year's contract. She let me know yesterday. So it's not an adversarial relationship by all means.
Did I say what? What, do you got a politician for a son? He's trying to hijack the show. Talk about what he wants to talk about.
I'm talking about
something valid. How do you apply for a job and he's telling me that's not relevant?
You had enough of me in Toronto. Now it's your turn.
Okay.
Let me help you, Animal. Can I help you?
No, let me just tell you what I understand so far. So once you find a guy on LinkedIn, you try to strike up a conversation, and the key, which I learned from your statements on Bill Boorman, was that a conversation is based on finding something in common, right? Is that it?
Correct.
That's what you're telling us now.
Correct.
So you got the sales manager. Let's say he lives in the same town as you. You're in Columbus, Ohio, by the way, everybody. And so he's there, and you say, you know what, have you ever been to Wimpy Burger? I love it, or something like that. Is that what you talk about?
A little bit more relevant.
Didn't I see you at Harvey's?
A little bit more relevant.
Okay.
A little bit more relevant. On the market, interested in your company, understand you guys have not at all suffered from the recession. Can we talk?
About what?
This topic here is ridiculous.
Just let her get a word in edgewise there, Jared.
We're trying to turn a job seeker into a recruiter / marketer / PR guy. He's an accountant. She is a scientist. Somebody is a painter. Come on. This is going to work for me.
Now, you know what?
Any of your job search clients that can actually do this kind of research and make marketing calls and stuff,
what Jerry's saying,
have them call me because I'll turn them into a recruiter.
Now, Jerry, Jerry
because
is
that's,
saying
that's the hard part of our job. Otherwise,
yeah.
You're discounting the work that. Just as I'm not going to go be an accountant in a 60-day course, I don't think an accountant is going to be a marketer in the same time frame. It's just
yeah.
A
now,
different...
Jerry, what you're saying is you can't make a silk purse from a sow's ear. And ironically, I saw a video this morning by JT O'Donnell, last week's guest, and they started getting. She's a job coach as well. They started getting complaints apparently from job hunters who said, they don't like what their career coaches are telling them. And she said, listen, honey or buddy or whatever the guy's name was, she said, look, pal, just because you took the course doesn't mean you're going to master it immediately. You have to practice for a long time. And that's what Jerry's saying, and I
People
agree 100%.
People want a job. They don't want a career. They don't want a new lifestyle. They just want a job.
And that's what we're teaching them to get, okay?
Let's start with my brother,
Jerry.
Mike, in Chicago. I don't know if he's called back in or not. However.
Question.
Who's talking?
Matthew Jones, 23.
Matthew Jones, 23. Janice, he wants to talk to you. Go
Gen
ahead.
Gen Y machine.
Yeah.
Hey, Janice, how do you make money? Are you charging these job seekers to do this stuff?
Absolutely, and they're getting jobs.
What are you charging?
Depending upon, see, now here, and listen, hear me out. We have different levels of service, just like a menu. So depending upon what they choose to purchase will determine what they pay. We can take them all the way from resume prep and goodbye, good luck, all the way to and through helping them negotiate the job offers.
So, Janice, if I told you I wanted a six-figure job in Chicago and you would go out and try to find me that and charge me a certain percentage?
I'd tell you to come back to Earth first and foremost.
Coach, I'm not a player. I'm not an agent. You're the player. I'm the coach. Think of the coach on the sidelines. Okay, and understand, this is very important. Yes, an accountant, an engineer, let's talk about them, okay? All the tech people in the world, they can learn, and they better learn to sell themselves. Yes, they can learn to cold call. They got to be taught. That's what coaching's called, okay? And I never thought I'd sound like JT, but I am. They can be taught. Many of them, and today some, you have sales personalities too. Everybody wants a salesman, even to sit in the back of a cubicle and do auditing. So these guys, only to get the job, maybe not to do the job, but to get the job, they have got to go out there and they've got to make themselves known. And if it means cold calling, that's what they've got to do. This does not make them a recruiter.
Can't they just use a recruiter?
I'm sorry?
Can't they just hook up with a good recruiter in their field?
Well, the problem is recruiters are not in the business, to my knowledge, of getting jobs for people. They don't get paid to do that. They get paid to fill
job
orders.
Janice has a point. Janice is right.
Jerry, we need to go out and start charging our candidates to use us.
Janice.
What does that 100% service?
Are you kidding me?
Janice.
Maureen?
Janice.
Yes.
Janice.
Yeah, I'm here.
Is this real?
Janice.
Recruiters don't find people jobs?
Hey, am I not on?
I didn't say that.
Am I still on?
That's a topic for some bar somewhere after 5.
Am I still on the
show?
I'm wondering what that
soup to nut service costs.
I'll give you a range, okay? Anywhere between $2,500 and
$4,500
for total coaching.
All right,
but if it gets you
$250
your job, small price, how long is it going to take you to make that back if you get your six-figure job? And a lot of people that we work with are six-figure people, and a lot of people that
you wouldn't want $32,000? You'd rather have $4,000?
I'm sorry?
You're talking about making $4,000 on this instead of $32,000?
Well, there's a reason for that, though.
Who's asking
that
question?
Animal?
Yeah, well, listen, that's Matthew Jones. But Matthew
No, that
Jones.
Wasn't me. That wasn't me.
Okay, well, Matthew Jones.
So who asked that question?
He doesn't
Matthew
have
Jones? Okay, how old are you?
Me?
Yeah.
27.
All right. You are the age of my youngest child. I am a single mother of 4 kids, and in 1987, I needed to raise them. There was no father there, and so I needed to – we were traveling a bit much, and we were involved in a lot of entertaining, okay, which you need to do if you're recruiting properly, that was going to negate my – being able to raise these kids, okay? They could have all been in prison today. They're Black Hawk pilots, missionaries, and all kinds of people. That's why. You do what you got to do, and we did. In the meantime, we filled a niche that wasn't even in existence, and very successfully. I heard somebody ask, I think it was Stephanie Lloyd the other day, can you make six figures in this business? And I'm here to tell you you can. Absolutely.
Jess, I'm trying to get in to help you. Now, this guy, Matthew Jones, 23, a representative of Gen Y today, he asked online, he says, is Janice on Twitter? I want to give you a chance to give your ID. I mean, it's in your website now, and tell us, you know, where people can find you, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you. At Exec Job Coach.
At Exec Job Coach. And Sonny, your son, who works with you, and is a bright guy. I met him. I like him. He's at Job Search Coach. Am I right?
You are.
Okay, and his name is Jeremy. He sounds like son of Steve Levy to me. Okay?
I may be. You never know.
You never know.
Janice, what's your phone number? Janice. Janice, what's your phone number?
1-877-9-RESUME.
Janice, Steve Levy is a muscle man. I don't know if you ever saw his pictures. I mean, so, you know, I'm not.
Did he go to Miami University?
Although he is hair, he is bald, just like you.
You're losing the audience.
That's true. Okay. Now, next question. The money issue, it's not an issue for me. It sounds reasonable to me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But so here's the thing. For me, I just want everyone to know, when I read this stuff by career coaches and they're telling people, act like this in an interview and act like that and do this and that, I'm with Jerry. You can't change a person overnight. All you can tell them, don't pick your nose. You know, try to have a firm handshake. Lots of girls, let me ask you this, lots of women especially, or men from other countries, they give you a limp wrist handshake. It feels terrible in your heart. Do you tell them to have a firm handshake? That's very important to me.
My God, that's the easiest thing we do.
Tell them?
Of course. That's one-on-one.
That's only $75, animal.
You know what? That's worth $75.
It
if someone
sure is.
Gives me that stinking handshake, I have a terrible feeling. I think, oh, geez, don't they know anything? Okay.
We have far more delicate issues than that.
Okay, give us some. Give us some. Give us a delicate issue you've worked on. Let me see. Your son told me that you have worked with people who have records. They have criminal records, and you have to deal with that. Am I right?
Sometimes, yeah. Not the majority of our people know, but I'll tell you what, Gen Y, we've got more DUIs than I've ever seen, okay? And sometimes they come in here, and we have to deal with that.
Now, I want to give us an example and explain what that is. Not everybody is a criminal here. They don't understand.
A DUI is driving under intoxication, okay?
Right.
And we'll get that from some amazing people. And it will get sticky, for example, take a farmer rep who's going to have a company car. It'll get sticky at that point in time, okay? And once in a while, we've got to deal with that, and what we will tell them to do, and this is important, okay? First of all, never offer information unless you're asked. Okay, never offer negative information unless you're asked. Number two, don't lie. Never lie. Number three, the longer you've had to impress on an interview, the longer you've had to state your case, the more acceptable, potentially, unless it's totally against company policy, a bump in your background.
Did you coach Van Jones?
Nobody needed it.
Yeah, that sounds like it. You know, ask the guy, are you a communist? Did you ever make public statements that you're a communist? And he did. Nobody asked him. He didn't tell him.
That's a matter of definition. That's great. That's fun. I got a grandson listening who's an Obama supporter, so I got to watch what I say.
Well, I didn't say you shouldn't be an Obama supporter, but this guy, they're supposed to ask you a question, and you just said if it is a sensitive issue, don't confess. You wait for them to come to you. And that's what he did, right? So
they led it improperly.
Well,
they should have done a better job with
things, okay? I mean, come on. You don't.
Next topic.
My opinion.
Okay, next topic. We'll leave that one. Okay, I got some other. So, you know, what's a prepared candidate? You said recruiters don't prepare their candidates. What is a prepared candidate? Is that something you could tell us in a nutshell? Or
I can. Nutshell.
Okay.
A prepared candidate knows who he is, knows what he has, knows an industry, the company within it, the opening, if possible, the hiring manager, and knows how to play to demonstrate value so that he gets an offer and outcompetes the others.
Okay,
that's
now
nutshell enough.
Okay, something else is I find interesting. You work primarily locally. You are primarily
No. You got to understand something. We got two different practices. Job Search Coach has his. I have mine.
Okay. So
no, we've got clients from South Korea. We've got them from Scotland. We just had a guy hired from South Korea, was with General Motors, out in San Francisco to interview will end up back in Michigan. I've never seen him before. I've talked to him a lot in the middle of the night, but I've never seen him before.
Okay, you know what? I asked Jeremy when he was here. I'm just cutting in because it's not interesting to me. I said, how do you teach the guys to handle this question? What's your greatest weakness? And I didn't like his answer. I won't even say what it was unless he wants me to, but I didn't like it. What do you tell people to say? What's your greatest weakness?
I tell people to can I give an example?
I'd love you to, yeah.
All right, okay, and this is true, all right? I'm very hyper, type A, snap, 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 let's get it done person. I used to be very non-accepting of people who were more methodical and took their time. I thought they were either slackers, lazy, or
incompetent. Is this your own personal confession, or is this what you're
telling
me?
Yeah, you got it.
So booze and women is the wrong answer.
Hang on a minute. Let me finish, guys. So my point is I was actually shown up by somebody who did their job more methodically, and I found a respect for those people, and I realized my way is not the only way.
Yeah.
It's not my way or the highway. So now I behave and I think differently. That's been a weakness I've been able to overcome, period.
Uh-huh. I didn't ask you. I asked yours is great. I mean, yours is very flattering for yourself. Can you give a job can you give a job hunter something similar? What do you tell the, you know, some schmo who comes into you with $2,500 or $4,000? If you can transform him, like Jerry says, into someone who can present himself well, I think that's worth the money. What do you tell them to say when they're asked that question? I have my own theory on that one. You did a great, great one for yourself, okay? Whether it's true or not is another story.
Oh,
but
very.
It was pretty good. What have you said to other people? Give us some examples.
Well, it depends. In other words, we get to know, and again, this is where I think we're different than recruiters. We get to know these candidates extremely well. Okay, I can tell on the phone what I'm dealing with before they come in. And consequently, by the time I get to that, every answer is going to be, I can give you more answers if you want, but it just depends upon the individual. You've got to have something. First of all, they need to find their own weaknesses.
Did you say anything yet? You've been talking for 30 seconds. Come on.
I did. Were you listening? They need to know I need to know them. I need to make sure that I can identify.
I asked for an example. Listen, does anybody else have a question? No, you guys. Okay, go ahead.
I do. I have a question.
Okay, Maureen, give the kid. Anybody who hasn't asked the question yet? Anybody who hasn't or not a regular? That young guy. Is that Matthew Jones who wants to ask a question?
Lipschultz wants to ask a question.
Lipschultz. Who? Oh, Lipschultz, Jerry, Jeff. Come on.
Hey.
Come on in.
Thanks. I just wanted to ask if Janice preps these folks for how to work with recruiters. Because sometimes, you know, we get people that come up to us, and we're the same as HR, right? I mean, if they come in and act like fools with us, we kind of immediately...
I've got a better question related to Jerry. Let's Jerry Jeff. Well, come on. Jerry Jeff Lipschultz, he tells us, I think he told Bill Borman, that he goes... I listen to the Bill Borman show, you can tell. He goes out and to churches or community centers, and he gives speeches for job hunters and spends all night, you know, handing out free information. And you told Bill Borman, Janice, that this is something recruiters should do in order to build a network, right? And I don't know. I've heard some recruiters say, like, why don't they just get on the phone and recruit people? What do they have to meet these, you know, irrelevant people, maybe losers, out there at these churches or public? You know, you told Bill Borman, go hang out at the library. Speak at the library. The unemployed guy at the library might have a wife who's a talent acquisition manager. Yeah, he might, but he might not as well. What about that? Jerry Jeff does what you said recruiters should do. I know recruiters, and maybe some of them will speak up if they're on the show, who don't think that's a good idea. Do you want to address that issue?
Yes, balanced diet. You got to get off the phone. First, you got to get off the computer sometimes and get on the phone. Then you've got to get off the phone and get out into the community. Because I've seen this happen too. Jeremy, when he was a little kid and played soccer, you wouldn't believe, and I was recruiting them, you wouldn't believe who some of the dads were. Okay, and if I hadn't been yelling and screaming for my kid to make a goal, I wouldn't know who they are. They wouldn't know who I was. So it is amazing, especially today. This is volunteer time today, okay? And it is amazing who goes out. Normally successful people go out and volunteer their time. And it's amazing. There is a fertile valley of potential everything, potential candidates, potential, and this is, again, for the recruiting community, potential clients out in the world. We see that all the time. And we secure business doing that also. People want to know, gee, what do you do? I mean, I talk to people at airports. I talk to people every place because that's how I am. And those are who
you
are with
get
me
arrested?
Roll their eyes. But
if you were a man, would you get arrested?
Well, that's, that. You know, see, that's the thing, okay? You know, I'm 5 foot tall, over 60. I can get away with a lot of stuff. I always
okay.
could.
Okay,
I've
now
got
you
a
can
question.
Answer. Now,
a real question.
No, no, no. I wanted to answer. She can answer Jerry Jeff. You did, or, you know, that seems like a long answer.
The answer is yes. Do
no,
it.
No, she didn't. I asked that question. Jerry Jeff's question was, Jerry Jeff Lipschultz said, how should job hunters deal with recruiters? Do you want to answer that one? Or Jerry?
I do. I do.
Okay,
yeah, I
go
do.
Ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We partner with recruiters constantly, and that's an important thing to know. Many times, and hear me out, we're the first stop for an executive or an individual because they don't have a resume. So that's number one. Number two, the recruiting community and the corporate community will send us people that, A, they can't help, or, B, we need a resume right now. We got an opening for this guy. He's going to get in there. We got to have something to take with him, okay? So here's the answer to your question, okay? The answer to your question is this. People need to know, candidates need to know the players and their places. And the recruiting community is different than the coaching community. Everybody's got their own take on what they're doing. And the bottom line is the bottom line.
Who oh, you know what? I got to tell you, you're killing me. 30
oh.
seconds, 60 seconds, I don't know what you're talking about. Now, I tell everybody on this show, they should know, I like stories. You know, well, you got to give me proof. I'm like the guy on Law and Order. You say something, I say, sir or ma'am, you better tell me a story to back it up. Janice, you're not quick with the stories.
You're pissing me
off. You're making me angry. You think of stories for a second. Jerry, what did you want to say?
I just want to know, for your average customer, how do you set up what you're going to do for them, and what is your percentage of success, whatever that end goal might be, for the price that they're paying?
Okay, all right, a couple things, and I'll try to be quick because these are long questions. First
yeah,
of all,
if you got right into the answers, we wouldn't have to wait so long.
Oh, I'm learning. Okay, we diagnose and determine what they need to get a job offer. We teach them the steps in securing a job offer. We call it the job search triathlon. Part of it is, and I can explain that if you want, part of it is working with recruiters. We have our own recruiter pipeline of 5,500 recruiters that expect information from us, respond when there's an opening. They have databases. They have active openings. I mean, there's a lot of different things that we are doing to help these people, but everybody is different. Your CEO is going to be different than your degree trainee. So we sit down, map out a game plan, okay, and they institute that game plan. So they're all different, which is why our fees are different. Did
okay,
I answer your question?
I mean, I'm hip to the plan, but how do you gauge the results? Results aren't a plan. Plan's not a not,
right,
not
right,
a result,
right, right.
So.
Okay. All right. Let me explain this. First of all, we have no complaints. If you look, and I'll send this to you, I'm on the cover of the homepage of the Better Business Bureau, along with the drywall guy and the basement doctor, okay? We do not have any people that are not ultimately succeeding. And here's the caveat. If they do what they're taught, if they do what they're supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
It's a little bit like me joining the health club, paying my dues for a year, and I never go. I eat pizza. I can't blame the health club.
Okay, I just went for a drink and to get a lozenge. What did I miss? You know,
yeah,
I just, you guys
diamonds.
Should be. No,
so
you guys.
Then, there's just no way to quantify your success then.
Well, you know, I'll tell you why. Because first of all, the one thing is the distance. Okay, everybody doesn't always get back to us, and that's very important. Okay, another thing is we do not coach everybody who comes into us. Some of the people coming in are strict. They want a resume. They got an interview Friday. Best of luck. Goodbye.
Yeah, okay.
How many people have you collected money from and helped? I guess that's what he wants to know, right?
30 years worth? Something about
37 years worth almost, okay?
So, and you don't have any traction of how many people you've helped?
No, that's not true, okay? My entire career, okay, I have advised in some capacity over 40,000 people.
Well, so have I.
50 million in revenue, like Jerry?
I'm sorry?
Have you done more than 50 million in revenue like Jerry?
More than 50 in what?
I'm not saying anything about that.
I have a question.
I don't even want that to be the topic.
But let Maureen in, okay?
Janice, so you charge in a ballpark $2,500 to $4,500. Do you charge that to every candidate, regardless if he gets hired or not, or she gets hired or not?
Yes, but we work with them until they get hired.
Okay, but if they don't pay attention to what you're telling them to do, some of them don't get hired, right? But they
absolutely.
Still pay that.
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Look at it like the health club, like the gym. They charge you to go there. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, you still got to pay them to go.
Well, let's define what $2,500 to $4,500 is. That's just not a resume. See you later. That's a comprehensive package. That's resume, cover letter development, distribution, online identity management, and interview prep all the way up until the offer and the salary negotiations. I mean, that's what that includes, all the way until you're hired.
I think that
why would you do that when you can make I don't get why you do all that work when you can do that when you place somebody.
Yeah, okay.
You're doing all
she's
this work and you're not.
Who's talking? She's not a recruiter. She doesn't want to be a recruiter. We're not talking about that.
She was a recruiter in the past, and that's cool. I think it gives her a chance to do what she's doing now. I think it's awesome.
Because you guys
I love
are
you, Janice.
I'm sorry?
He loves you.
Jerry, is that you?
That's me.
Cool.
I like what you're doing.
After the show, honey. Okay, listen. Here's the deal. Okay? You guys.
That was a good line.
You guys will do the same kind of job with your candidates, and you may not get paid anything. Okay.
Well, it depends if you're on retainer or not. Okay.
That's true. No, that's true. I think, honestly, I think it all evens out.
My
I
grammar
really
can
do.
Pay. Okay. Okay,
you
know what?
And what I did, guys, hang on a minute. What I did was compatible with my lifestyle, compatible with my family, compatible with the needs of the community.
I'm going to cut you off. You know, I'm getting complaints on Twitter. They're
yeah,
saying it. No, here's what we're not at the end of this show yet, but we're getting near. And, you know, I said again at the beginning, I don't know if everybody understood what Steve was saying, but I have to differentiate myself. I'm bookended by shows doing the exact same thing in the same time slot and other shows doing the same thing, you know, like in other times. So I have to make sure my people go away with something. So I want to enumerate, what did we learn today? Now, one thing we learned, the price of a job search coach, at least one, and I'm going to say maybe it reflects the field. I don't know. So we learned one thing. We learned that you do advise people to research a company and then approach people who work there via LinkedIn. That's another thing we learned. We learned that you believe you can make good contacts locally by going out to charity, being a volunteer at charities and going to other local events. That's another thing. What else did we learn? We learned that you believe that somebody will not turn into a recruiter overnight, but that they can develop the skills necessary to get a job.
Correct.
Okay. Anything else? Did we learn any? That's 4 or 5 points.
Got another one. Okay.
That we learned already or that you want to explain?
No. And this is probably when I do get interviewed short, okay, and people say, what's the one big mistake that candidates are making? What we tell them is this. They are looking for job openings, and that's a mistake. That's the herd mentality. They're looking to put themselves in with 700 other people to qualify for a job and to land an offer. We teach people to go, and this may be a repetition, but it's worth it, to go to places that employ people who do what you can do and to begin to approach those people, okay? Make a list of companies in your target geographic area if you're not relocatable that have employees. If you miss one company, you have failed in your mission. Everybody needs to know who you are somehow. And obviously, it's just like the recruiters. The big question mark is, well, how do we do that? And there's different ways of doing that depending on the situation. I'm done.
I agree with Janice on that. I know Jerry doesn't, but I agree. You pick a target field, especially hopefully it's one you like, and you work them until somebody lets you in.
How many copies of a resume should somebody have? Should they change the resume each time for every opening they hear about, or should they have one that really covers everything in a couple pages and know it well and be prepared to talk about any of it?
We've talked to employers about this. We've done a lot of research on this, okay? Employers want focus. They want to believe that what your resume was prepared for was specifically them. So your keywords need to be applicable. Your headline, objective, and note I said that, needs to be applicable. Your cover letter, if they should happen to read it, which they may not, needs to be applicable. Everything needs to look like you were meant for them. Okay?
So you're saying they need an objective?
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah.
A lot of resume writers are saying you don't skip the objective and have a targeted summary. And my question is, what the hell's the difference?
Oh, because a summary, we don't even do that many summaries anymore. Summaries normally are a bunch of fluffy paragraphs about how highly motivated self-starter with stellar record of achievements. I mean, we have stopped that. An objective is, and I'll tell you why. You go to a large company, okay, and I'll go back to Columbus, like a Cardinal Health or a Nationwide Insurance, okay, they have numerous openings, and these people aren't going to be patient enough to try to figure out what you are. You better be telling them, and that's what we do at the top.
Headline objective meaning senior level accountant, exactly what the position opening it calls for. That's what you put at the top of your resume. Thank goodness for Microsoft Word or Open Office.
Anybody else got a question before we go? We got 3 minutes left besides Jerry and Maureen.
Hey, Animal, it's Mike Raymer.
Mike Raymer, go ahead.
Hey, I've been listening the whole show, and Janice, you did a terrific job, really.
Thanks, Bob.
Really.
Yeah. Got a question,
and
Mike?
I am all with you because I believe in the targeted resume as well, and that we need to customize for each position in this market. But where I differ from you is that I do believe that a summary is a 3 to 5 line way to package your background, and the last line in a summary is an objective statement, which, to take what you said, focuses on the position that they want. But the question I have is, why did you move away from a summary?
Well, two reasons. First of all, 3 to 5 lines, my ADD employer may not read 3 to 5 lines unless there are industry keywords or position keywords. That's the first thing. The reason we moved away from it is because of all the BS in it, okay? I mean, there are people were saying stellar record and the what do you call them? Stereotype things. Go getter,
right.
Out of the box thinker, okay.
Paradigm.
I mean, people throw
right.
up when they
but
see
if you take, if you take away some of that fluff and really give it a targeted, focused summary to package your background for that position and then put an objective statement seeking a position as in XYZ company with in XYZ role, that can work also, yes?
No, and I'll tell you why, okay? First of all, the first part of your question, yes. The first part of your question, if it identifies what you are, yes. If it identifies what you're seeking, I contend that employers don't give a crap what you're seeking. They have needs. They need to be met. You meet their needs, you get in. They don't
agreed.
Care what you're looking for.
Agreed.
A
if
factual tagline of your career
is,
history is what they're looking for, a factual tagline of your career history.
Exactly.
Janice,
which is what
you
I call a
tell
summary.
Us your coordinates now because it is coming towards the end of the show. Exec Job Coach on Twitter, at Exec Job Coach. Jeremy is Job Search Coach on Twitter. What is your company website, please?
WorthingtonCareers.com.
WorthingtonCareers.com.
And since you made him talk, BuckeyeResumes.com.
Oh, you got your two separate companies.
Yep.
Buckeye, now that's the flower of Ohio.
That's a useless nut, as a matter of fact.
What?
It's a useless nut,
and
that's no confidence.
And the Buckeye sun was shining. I rode my bike down Apple Creek Drive. Thank you, everybody!